Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
IMIS, morning 6 to 8 on WBNW, 1120 AM. The following program is wholly sponsored and produced by Stu Taylor on Business, which is responsible for its content. The opinions and information provided on today's show are those of the guests and or their respective companies and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of this station. It is strongly recommended that all listeners conduct their own due diligence on all companies mentioned and or seek out the advice and counsel of a financial professional. The guests on this show may pay a fee to appear on the show and are not affiliated with the show in any manner. This is Stu Taylor on Business. Now, Stu Taylor.
All right, I hope you had a great weekend. Nice, relaxing Monday morning. Isn't it, Laurie? A nice, relaxing Monday morning?
It sure is.
Oh, yeah. And it's great to have you listening. And, well, I had an interesting dream last night. I wasn't going to say this. You know how you have these crazy dreams? Laurie, I had a really fascinating dream. I got about 9.5 hours of sleep last night for some reason, which is more than the 7 hours I'm accustomed to. And I dreamed that I was doing a radio show, and I won't mention the name of the female who I once taught how to do radio, and she years ago, and she's become very successful in her own right. And of course, I never got a thank you, but that's okay. And somehow she was on the air, and then it came time for my show. And the producer and they wouldn't let me do the show. So I ran 3 blocks to the offices and talked with 3 or 4 people. And they said, no, you have permission to do the show. And she already started it. So I had to run back 3 blocks to get to the studio, and she still wouldn't let me do the show. And then I woke up in a I didn't wake up in a sweat. I mean, how do you like that dream?
I think of more exciting dreams than that.
Yeah, but I just thought that was interesting. I was just sitting here smiling, it's thinking funny. What made me jump up after 9.5 hours in bed. Life is crazy. All right, no psychology today. Whoa, wrong. Everything is psychology. Everything is politics. And I just have to get this across to people. I am now obsessed with getting this point across, and I'll probably lose most of my listening audience in the next 6 months. I'm not going to be doing it every day. And as a matter of fact, at the end of the month, at the end of the hour, joining us will be, I should say this, Bobby Martin. His book is The Hockey Stick Principles, The 4 Key Stages to Entrepreneurial Success. It's just that, what's wrong with people? It doesn't take a psychologist to figure this out. I've interviewed a lot of people, including, I don't even want to mention their names, the presidential candidate who used to be governor of New Mexico, the one who loves pot, you know who I'm talking about, and the vice president who used to be the governor of Massachusetts, he'll be his assistant. Are they flat out nuts? Is Mitt Romney, George Bush, Billy Crystal, are they all flat out nuts? Have they all lost every semblance of sanity? You can throw Glenn Beck in there as well, who kissed the butt of Mark Zuckerberg when he went for that company visit. Well, I don't know why, except the blaze, I understand, maybe going up in a blaze. What happened to Glenn Beck? What happened to Glenn Beck? He completely flipped out. This reminds me of I told you about a science fiction movie. You know, I mean, a couple of them, really. Horror movies, not science fiction. They're horror movies. People go and they contract a virus and all their bodies become filled with boils and blood and they die. They always have these college kids. It's the same thing. You know, there's always the arguments and, if I started to write a sci-fi movie years ago and I just never did it. But I look at the garbage that's on. I can't believe it. Where am I going this morning? I'm going to tell you that I'm sick and tired, and I don't think I can contain myself when I meet people and they say, well, gee, I know, I want this country to come back to, some semblance of greatness, but I can't decide who to vote for, Hillary or Donald Trump. Are you kidding? I got an email yesterday. It was a great, great email. I'm not going to read it on here. It was just, and I don't even know who wrote it. You know, it was one of these things that goes around. And it listed everything about Donald Trump's life. Everything. It's like an open book. It was good. It was bad. It was ugly. You know, as Clint Eastwood used to say, it was braggadocio on his part. Everything was in there. I want you to know it wasn't biased in favor of Trump. Everything about his college education, his women, his life, his businesses. It was a long email. And then it ended by saying, we know everything about Donald Trump. Obama's been in office 7.5 years, and we don't know anything about him. I just thought that was really quite appropriate. Then I got a couple of more emails. I'm not gonna go through these on air because, they may border on being tasteless, which is a criticism of the current administration. I mean, they're really great. I said I wasn't going to say anything. They're pictures. I remember the days when men wore, when good patriotic Americans wore denims. Now they wear suits. It shows a woman. I'll just tell you one, and then I'm going on in a male bathroom by the urinal, and underneath the caption is Obama's America. You get the picture of it. I'm not going to run through the others. And now the Republicans are doing everything they can. We talk about Hillary being an enabler for Bill Clinton's sexual escapades. Well, how about the, you heard it, stupid Republicans being enablers to help Hillary get into office? That's the only, one of the only reasons I really like Bernie Sanders. I mean, what he stands for is despicable. It's against every American principle that we've ever established, and the founding fathers would take Bernie Sanders, and I say figuratively, you got to be so careful. You see what's happened to me, and hang him. And I say that figuratively. Man, I remember the days I used to do radio. I didn't really have to worry about what I said. I was never fresh. I was never vulgar. I just said it as it was. Now I'm telling you the truth about how I feel, but I just have to. I always have to couch what I say. And those who know me know, and I mentioned this if you don't know it, years ago when I had a substantial business, another world, another life, every single time, and I guess this is discriminatory, isn't it? I had a choice between hiring a man and a woman, both of apparent equal caliber. I always hired the woman. I mean, am I going to get thrown off the air for saying that? I always went with the woman. I thought they were more serious, more diligent, better prepared, just as smart, if not smarter. And now when I say anything, I always have to say, and if he or she, I can't say, like we used to say, just in general talk, well, if he runs in this campaign, I just have to kind of qualify everything. So I'm getting sucked into this as well, and I'm trying not to. Oh, I don't want to discriminate against this one. I don't want to discriminate against that one. Let's look at the Washington Redskins. A complimentary name. It was meant a warrior to put on the paint face. And when the Washington Redskins name was given, it was given because some chief approved it. He approved it. He wanted the name of the Redskins. 9 out of 10 people on a poll just given. 9 out of 10 Indians, people of Indian heritage, said they didn't find it offensive. They found it complimentary. And there are people on radio, on ESPN, and otherwise, they won't say that. They'll only say Washington. I can't even begin to express the anger and the venom. So let's change the name of every single sports team. I could run through you don't need me to give you examples. Let's change the name of all of them. Let's change the name of towns that may have I remember Peter saying Fishkill was discriminatory towards fish. Peekskill, New York? Fishkill. I think it's Fishkill. I'm not sure. And there is a Peekskill. How insane have we gone? And the same insanity, yes, the same insanity will be demonstrated if these, quote, conservatives, Republicans, and rhinos support Hillary and not Donald Trump. On a scale of 100, with 100 being the dream choice, I know, where's Trump at about an 80? I mean, I'm just trying to make a point. He may be at about an 80. Where is Hillary from 0 to 100? Minus 16. What is there to think about? And is there anything more laughable than all the former members of the George Bush Brain Trust just blasting conservatives for getting behind Donald Trump? You know, the complaint is that the conservatives are throwing overboard their core principles when they get behind the fairly, I say fairly, elected by the popular vote, 3 million more votes than Romney got, the fairly elected Republican nominee. I'm not going to mention any names, or maybe I will, but this new loyalty, you know, it's all based upon this devotion to conservatism. If Trump isn't a conservative, and he isn't, because it's not ideology anymore, it's populism that's driving voters. And you know what? If it's not conservatism, we saw it. I mean, maybe the true conservative, Ted Cruz, who didn't make it. If it's not ideology, what is it? It's populism. It's nationalism. It may be a form of isolationism. I've changed my views somewhat. I'm still a conservative. But the world has changed. If you don't change with it, you're gone. All right. I'll be back.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-439-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So cancel the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-439-MYTV.
At just $24.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
That's 1-877-439-MYTV.
There's more than one way to invest in your education. Investing in the right products, securities, and real estate generates secure and sound futures. What about an investment that retains its value? Consider college real estate. College real estate can provide housing for students and generate returns for their families. Through this special offer from Austin iLabs, you can download the free workbook from collegerealestate.com to see if this investment is right for you. Go to collegerealestate.com/radio.
Have you heard? Proactive Plus is faster and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal, and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited-time offer. Give us a call at 800-726-1031, because we're going to let a million people try Proactive Plus risk-free and get two free gifts, and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactive Plus now, and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactive Plus, two free extras, and free shipping. Call 800-726-1031. This is our exclusive radio offer, never on TV. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive Plus with free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait. Call 800-726-1031. That's 800-726-1031.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588.
800-439-1588.
All right, guys, we're ready for our Four Seasons sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room, weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait, a family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-933-5775. That's 800-933-5775.
BizTalkRadio.com.
The Financial Exchange, weekdays 10 to noon, 1120 a.m. WBNW.
This is Oliver North, host of War Stories on Fox News Channel and author of American Heroes in Special Operations. I just want you to know, Stu Taylor is a great American patriot. Don't miss his show.
All right, we return, and joining us, and oh, man, I love this topic. I don't know what happened to those old Westerns. Boy, back when, I won't even say when, 50s, 60s, 70s, 40s, even before that, I loved them. I remember my father always used to sit, and we always watch Westerns together. Well, there's a little bit of a revival. Joining us right now is James E. Brammer, B-R-A-M-M-E-R. He is the author of The Avenging Seven. And the book is published by Fulton Books. You can go to fultonbooks.com, amazon.com, barnesandnoble.com. Hey, James, welcome and congratulations on a book that really looks interesting. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you very much.
What's the book about and why did you write it?
It's about seven young people that are right around the late 20s, early 30s, that as they were growing up as children, they met some really fast gun cowboys, and they learned from them as children how to use a gun very well. As time went on and they grew up, and of course these children did not know each other because it was at different times in these older cowboys' lives that they interacted with these children. And I wrote a book because I saw how these kids could become the next generation of protecting innocent people that could not take care of themselves. They grew up being fast guns, and they got to know each other as time went on and found out what they had in common. And not that they decided, but that they saw a situation where they needed each other, and they performed the task, and they got the job done of protecting innocent people with their fast guns.
I ask you why you wrote it. Is the answer partially because of our situation right now with the NRA and the politics surrounding gun control?
No, sir. Not at all. This is something I've been wanting to do ever since I was a teenager back in the 60s when I saw the movie The Magnificent Seven, which I was totally impressed with.
Yul Brynner, right?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Okay.
And
call me,
very
please. Call
with,
me. Call me.
The
Stu.
Directors and the producers that put that together, and of course, it originated in Japan, which is where they got the storyline from. And I always wanted to do something. When I was in high school, I wrote my English theme papers based on seven people. And of course, back then, you know, things didn't come to me being that young. But as time went on, the thoughts were always in my head. And then finally, I retired from work, and one day just thought to myself, you know what, I can write this now, and decided to sit down and start writing, and it took me 11 months to write this first book that has now come out, and that's the story behind it. It's interesting, though, because I do realize that for what I have written does come at a time in our history where gun control and NRA and everything is very controversial right now, and it's interesting how things just come together.
Yeah, it really is. Are there any similarities in themes to any of the past cowboy Western books or Western movies that you've seen out? Or is it, would you say it's really dissimilar? It may be an unfair question because you can go back to Tim Holt and Roy Rogers and all of those cowboys. What's your response to that?
I saw them, too, as I grew up. And, I mean, the early 60s, Westerns were big. You couldn't turn a TV on at any time and not see some kind of a Western. And as a young boy, you know, the neighborhood played cowboys and Indians, which you don't see anymore today. But it was just based on that one movie. And then, of course, 6 years later, the second one came out, The Return of the Seven. And I was just so impressed. I was speechless as a teenager. But that's all it was based on, was just those, which ended up being four different Magnificent Seven movies up to 1972.
All right. James Brammer. Sounds great. I mean, I love the sound of this book. The Avenging Seven, published by Fulton Books. Go to fultonbooks.com. James, a real pleasure having you on. I got excited when I saw a book on Westerns. Nice to have you.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Stu. Thank you.
All right. We're going to continue here on Stu Taylor on Business This Morning. And I want to return to the topic that I started here just prior to having James on. And that's the base, the Republican Party, and how thoroughly stupid so many of them are. I mean, just flat out stupid. Whether you don't vote for Trump or whether you start a Trump movement, all you got to do is elect Hillary. And with the way this country is right now, even if, well, it's not going to happen, but if she were indicted and behind bars, she still wouldn't quit this campaign. She still wouldn't quit it. And polls are showing that Trump has not only narrowed the lead, but he's taken the lead in some of the other polls out. I mean, Hillary, I mean, I just can't, I can find the adjectives, but just to say that she is a despicable human being. Also someone who will just finish off the job that Barack Obama started. And then you've got all these conservatives, people for whom I've just lost respect for. I mean, add Bill Kristol. I won't have any friends pretty soon. Cross off Bill Kristol from the list and a whole bunch of others. Third party, Mitt Romney. I always said I thought Romney would have made a fine president. I'm still saying I think he would have made a fine president. Now is he not only a terrible campaigner, he's just turned into a fool. He's turned into an absolute fool. So it isn't conservatism that's the driving force right now. It's populism. As I said, it's nationalism. It's isolationism. And you have to change with the ways that have changed. People say, well, you know, he's going to talk with Kim Il-sung. He's going to talk. You have to today. I would have said for years, don't do it until people make concessions. Right now, if you don't engage, one of these nutcakes can just send devastating weaponry anywhere around the world. It's a different world, so it has to be guided by different principles. It's no different than business. As things change, as people change, as time changes, you've got to change this. Conservative isn't a religious bigotry and conspiracy theory. It's not an anti-intellectual, an anti-science. And a lot of these conservatives are just surrendering their identity. You want to go by issue, by issue, by issue, by issue, and that includes George Bush, too. You can talk about Medicaid, No Child Left Behind, or the extreme spending of Bush, Bill Clinton as well. These ridiculous bailouts, sending American troops into Afghanistan. I still think the move into Iraq was the right one. I'm tired of defending that on air. If anybody wants to, they can call in and directly confront me on it. And the withdrawal of once deemed to be conservatives from saying, oh, we shouldn't have gone into Iraq. We should have gone into Iraq. We should have gone into Iraq. We did the right thing. We didn't know how to get out, and we should not have been involved in nation building. But I'm going to leave it there because we're going to switch to business. We'll be right back.
Are you worried about losing your home to foreclosure? If you've been threatened with foreclosure or receive legal papers from your bank, you have approximately 30 days to respond. If you do not respond, you could lose your home. You have rights. Act now to protect your rights. You can stay in your home. Many times you can even modify your loan. The bottom line is you can get past this, but you must act right now. If you've been served by your bank and you're worried about losing your home to foreclosure, now is the time to fight back and save your home. Time is limited, so call the professionals at National Foreclosure Defense right now.
800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. That number again is 800-708-7922.
I've owned my company for 14 years now, and I can tell you that payroll is a four-letter word. I hate doing it. It eats up hours I don't have, and it costs me money I could be saving, but my accountant's too expensive, and I'm not sure who to call. But I know I need help.
We're Paychex, and we take all the hassles out of small business payroll. We save you time and money. It's easy. Call, fax, or give us your payroll information securely online, and we take care of the rest. We calculate the correct taxes, manage payments and direct deposits. We even send out your checks. Payroll doesn't need to be a four-letter word anymore. We're so sure that we can save you time and money that we'll give you a month's payroll free. Just for calling 877-726-3369. Get 1 month's payroll for free. Call Paychex right now. 877-726-3369. That's 877-726-3369.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570, 800-430-7570, 800-430-7570, that's 800-430-7570.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
BizTalkRadio.com.
You're tuned in to Money Matters Boston, 1120 AM WBNW.
Hi, this is Mike Reagan, chairman of the Reagan Group and the Reagan Legacy Foundation. You know, when I'm in Boston or when I want to be on radio, I'm with Stu Taylor. You should be with Stu also. Have a great day.
All right, for those who have a real business interest, and obviously I do, I mean, I got a great guest on with a great book. His name is Bobby Martin. He co-founded two successful startups, one of which First Research is a leader in sales intelligence. It was sold to Dun & Bradstreet. That's impressive enough. I don't need to know any more about Bobby Martin. He's involved with five other startups as an angel investor and advisor, chairman and founder of Vertical IQ, a leading provider of sales research for banks. He speaks everywhere and was the recipient of the Triangle Business Journal's 2006 40 Under 40 Award. And the name of the book, The Hockey Stick Principles, The Four Key Stages to Entrepreneurial Success. And it is published by Flatiron Books. Let me just give you Bobby's website, which is hockeystickprinciples.com. Hey, congratulations on all your achievements. Welcome. It's great to have you on.
Oh, great. Thanks so much, Stu.
Yeah, let me go right to the title because, you know, as I looked at it before looking at the book, and I said, well, what's this all about? So, the first question, since we're on radio, I think people will want to know, what's the connection between the hockey stick principles and what you talk about in this book?
Yeah, sure. So the hockey stick is a metaphor for revenue growth for startups. So people who start innovative businesses of all kinds, not just tech companies, but, you know, Yeti coolers or any type of new business that, according to my study of 172 successful firms, they all took the revenue shape, or actually almost all of them took the revenue shape of a hockey stick. So it took them 2 or 3 years, low revenue and low growth, until they turned north and revenue started really taking off. And so that's where the name comes from.
Yeah, dangerous business stages here. Let me ask you first, can you give just a general overview on people should bootstrap, go to institutional investors, use angels or venture capital? I'd like to hear it from someone who's done it so successfully.
Yeah, sure. I think, well, first of all, it's an art form. So the timing by which you raise capital or you bootstrap or whatever depends on a number of circumstances. But I think that, you know, generally speaking, unless you are definitely onto a multi-billion-dollar idea, that I think bootstrapping is a great way to go, because during this stage of not spending a lot of money and kind of doing things yourself and, you know, doing things with very little money in the first 2 or 3 years, and it enables you to use a lot of trial and error and figure out how things are actually going to work and basically develop a business model. So the less money you're pouring into that process, the better off you'll be. And let's face it, 99% of the founders out there of new companies are probably going to start a kind of a niche, a $10, $20, $30, $50 million idea, not a multi-billion dollar idea that you read about. So I'm a big advocate for that. Some people, when they start out, they just need $50,000 or $100,000, and that's where angel investing comes in, sometimes more. Angels, of course, are individuals who have a fair amount of net worth and therefore can afford to risk the money to help someone start a firm, and that's where angel investing comes in. And, of course, venture capital is for something that is normally a professional organization that's going to invest usually more than a few hundred thousand dollars, half a million or more, up to $2, $3, $4, $5 million. So again, I advocate people do as much as they can for as little money as they can normally.
And make sure that if you don't want to give up a share or a portion of your business and lose, say, or control in it, you better think very carefully about doing it. But that's for specific instances. I don't want to go there. I'd rather go down this road, Bobby, and ask you what's changed since we had that huge tech crash. Yeah, I felt it too. Listen, I thought I was a genius in 2000, and found out I really wasn't a genius like a lot of other people out there. How has the landscape changed? And perhaps we should focus on angel investing and not have a professorial dissertation on this. Let's focus in the area that you are. What are the changes since 2000?
Well, that's a great question. I think in 2000 with the dot-coms companies is that many of these businesses basically got ahead of their times. And so back in 2000, they got ahead of themselves in the sense that, you know, there were several companies who started with just way too much capital before they went through that iterative process that I just described of learning your business model first. I think Webvan was a perfect example, if I don't recall, but what they did is they poured millions of dollars into this new technology, which is primarily internet, and their business models weren't ready for it. And then today, in 2016, well, we as a society and a business society have learned so much about the smart way to start businesses that, quite frankly, capital's much more efficient today than it was in 2000. So I think that's one big difference. And of course, it's still a high-risk proposition. But it's more controlled, I think.
All right, I want to have you focus on the book. This is so fascinating, and the subject is so encompassing and wide ranging that I want to get to what the essence of the book is: the four key strategies to entrepreneurial success. Then I'll feel better about talking, knowing we've covered it. So, could you talk about the first one, which is tinkering? Just kind of an overview as we go through these four.
Yeah, sure. And one thing I'll say about the stages of growth, too, is that, you know, there weren't that many commonalities amongst these founders because they're all so different and so unique, fascinating people, but they all follow these four stages, that's for sure. And the first stage is tinkering, which is when you have an idea and you haven't quit your day job and you haven't invested significant capital, meaning more than $5,000 or $10,000. These successful founders just toyed around or tinkered with their ideas for an average of 9 months. So that was the time frame where they, you know, if they were professional coders, they would code, just try things. They did things very inexpensively, and there's one founder I spent a fair amount of time with who started an anti-drowning device called Seal Innovation. Well, he spent a couple of years in his basement trying to figure out how to create an anti-drowning device himself. So that's a fascinating stage, and they all went through this.
Maybe one or two more examples here, and that which would lead me to perhaps a more general coverage of this, of people who kind of personify what you're talking about in the book, companies, and they may be big companies, you know, Amazon, Facebook, Apple. I mean, you can go on and on here. You want to pick one or two examples here who started out with a business model that certainly warranted moving forward.
Yeah, sure. There are many of them, of course. One that you may have heard of called Red Hat Software. It's a multi-billion-dollar company. I spent a fair amount of time with its founder, a guy named Bob Young. And the brilliance of the business model was that he proposed giving away the software for free. And this was back in the 1996, 1995 and there. It was based off Linux, which is a software that was created by basically the software community itself. And they just created a really brilliant version of it, and they called it Red Hat. And he couldn't figure out how to monetize it. So what he did is that tinkering stage is spent a whole lot of time with the software developers and the large corporations who ultimately ended up paying big licensing fees for it. And he gave it away for free to anybody who wanted to download it. But if you wanted support, documentation, and an official version of it, which corporations, of course, would want, then you had to pay. And so it turned out to be a brilliant business model. But it was that, you know, it was that tinkering that Bob Young did that enabled him to figure that out. And it wasn't like he messed around with it for a month. It was a good solid year or two before he really discovered his business model.
I look at hockey principle number two. I don't want people to think that I'm a genius and I created these four key stages. I didn't. Bobby Martin talks about it. But the blade years, and that brings up an interesting point. It talks about going through the process and being patient enough to start a business and to get funding. And I know one of the reasons businesses business models go out is because they're not adequately explained and perhaps they didn't write a good business plan. Bottom line is a lot of them just, you know, you can't get funding and lose money. Talk about stage two. And when is the time to pull the plug? And we may have to go into our next segment, but why don't you get this started?
Yeah, that's actually an outstanding question. I do find that the blade years, which is that stage of growth, when you quit your day job and you say, oh, okay, I'm all in on this idea. I'm going to start this business. You've invested whatever money needs to be invested to start it. And then you're off and running. That's the blade years. They, on average, they last 3 or 4 years.
All right, we're going to come back. We'll talk more about the blade years if you need some cutting on this when we come back from a break. This is Stu Taylor. Taylor Business.
Has your life changed? Are you now in a situation where you need health insurance? Here's some simple advice. Call our health insurance hotline right now. This free service will do all the work for you. Shop the health insurance marketplace and find the plan that best meets your health insurance needs. Don't get lost searching for plans on your own. Let a licensed agent help you for free. According to a report on CNN Money, almost half of those eligible for subsidies are paying less than $3 a day for bronze or silver plans. Remember, under Obamacare, most Americans qualify for health insurance. So get ready to let us do all the work for you and find out the best health insurance plan for your needs. Call this number now.
800-659-7975. 800-659-7975 for your free health insurance quote. Call now. 800-659-7975. 800-659-7975.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Today, more than ever, Americans need a means to protect their life savings. With a troubled economy and government spending out of control, they've been forced to promote loose money policies, which decreases the value of the dollar and promotes inflation. Birch Gold Group can help you protect your savings by rolling over all or a portion of your IRA or 401k into an IRA backed by physical gold. Take advantage of the best gold prices in years and enjoy the long-term hedge against inflation that gold provides by moving into a gold IRA from Birch Gold Group, the precious metal IRA specialists. Call Birch Gold Group today for a free consultation on how a tax-free rollover to a gold IRA can offer stability, protection, and the peace of mind that your life savings, which you've worked so hard to build, is safe. Call 888-999-1351 and receive Birch Gold's free information kit, which offers the best-kept secrets for safeguarding your savings with gold. Call 888-999-1351. That's 888-999-1351.
I've owned my company for 14 years now, and I can tell you that payroll is a four-letter word. I hate doing it. It eats up hours I don't have, and it costs me money I could be saving, but my accountant's too expensive, and I'm not sure who to call, but I know I need help.
We're Paychex, and we take all the hassles out of small business payroll. We save you time and money. It's easy. Call, fax, or give us your payroll information securely online, and we take care of the rest.
We calculate the correct taxes, manage payments and direct deposits. We even send out your checks. Payroll doesn't need to be a four-letter word anymore. We're so sure that we can save you time and money that we'll give you a month's payroll free. Just for calling 877-726-3369. Get 1 month's payroll for free. Call Paychex right now. 877-726-3369. That's 877-726-3369.
Have you heard? Proactiv Plus is faster and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv Plus, your acne can heal, and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited-time offer. Give us a call at 800-726-1031, because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv Plus risk-free and get two free gifts, and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactiv Plus now, and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactiv Plus, two free extras, and free shipping. Call 800-726-1031. This is our exclusive radio offer, never on TV. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv Plus with free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait. Call 800-726-1031. That's 800-726-1031.
BizTalkRadio.com.
Real life stories of the legal exchange. Sundays 2 to 3, AM 1120, WBNW.
This is George Will. I've just had the pleasure and sheer fun of an interview with Stu Taylor. Hope you'll listen.
All right. Kind of the crux of a business interview here. I mean, it's I don't know how to define it, but this is, I mean, you really want to get into pure business and real stuff and real life ongoing processes and negotiations. Read the book. Bobby Martin is the author of The Hockey Stick Principles and the four key stages to entrepreneurial success. It's in a hardcover. You can get it by Flatiron. I know I don't say this all the time, and it's because I don't want to be discriminatory, so I'll just tell you that this book is a must-read book. You can come to any conclusions you want to come to. Bobby, we were kind of getting through the blade years. Was there anything you needed to finish your thoughts or your statements?
Yeah, well, the last thing I'll say about the blade years is that, you know, so many people rush that stage, and I think the most successful founders that I learned and interviewed is that, you know, while they were impatient, you know, Donald Trump, somebody asked him many years ago, what is the one thing you look for out of somebody that works for you? And he said, impatience. And I think you have to be really impatient on your activities, but patient while your business model is coming together. And I think that's what it takes, because, you know, 3 or 4 years is a long time with little or no salary. And that's what I find is people quit too soon. They could have had a successful business, but if they quit too soon, then they never give it time to germinate. And it's not a one-year proposition normally. It tends to be 3 years.
Yeah, it's something, as you say, a lot of people don't have the patience, because we've been brainwashed in the society now to seek immediate gratification of needs. You see billionaires made overnight. And it's not the top 15% of the people who become billionaires, but, you know, we're always thinking of that lottery ticket in spite of having 292 million to one odds. It's great in one sense, Bobby, because it motivates us to go after our dreams. On the other one, you have to have that balance of pragmatism. And when you talk about principle number three, the gross inflection point, that's the time, as you say, this is your quote, it's the crucial time. At the crucial point in time, right after your business takes off, when it's imperative you make smart decisions to properly manage rapid growth, and I'm reading that directly. What about handling rapid growth? Because when they say making money can be easy through diversification, the difficult part is keeping the money you have. This isn't quite the same, but how do you make the point of knowing to grow so that you don't grow exponentially by investing more money than you need and undoing the process? How do you gauge this?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. I think that's where the rubber meets the road for so many of these successful startups, is that you have to pour the proper amount of capital or money venture capital into the engine that you've created. So you've created a successful engine at stage three where you're beginning to take off. Some founders get too aggressive, and it's detailed in my book and several examples. But what they do is they pour all this money on it before it's perfected. So they've perfected aspects of it, but not fully. And then they end up with too many hires and just too many expenses in general, and then have to shut the whole thing down, which is a shame. And, you know, I think that that stage of growth, the best thing you can do, there's a book that came out years ago by Jeffrey Moore called Crossing the Chasm. It's a brilliant book, but Crossing the Chasm talks about how during this phase, this is when you're actually investing a lot of your time into your existing customers and making them really, really happy, finding out what they need. Because normally, if you can get these early adopters happy, then that'll move you fast into the early majority, and then off you go from there, and you can go after the masses. So I think timing's everything. The most successful founders are outstanding at timing.
Yeah, and you go, hey, there's a little bit of luck, but, you know, luck can be difficult to spot, as Thomas Edison once said. It can be dressed in overalls and looks like work. You can use that as a message if you decide to go into angel investing. Your fourth principle, and I'm glad we jumped right into this because it's giving you an adequate time to explain it, surge in growth. But you know the word that I love? Scalability. Why don't you respond?
Sure. And, you know, scalability is definitely a popular term. You hear a good bit about startups. You know, does this business model that we've created, is it duplicatable profitably? So can you keep duplicating the things you're doing, the activities, if you will, and still earn a profit? That's scale. Now, a lot of times startups, it gets a little bit interesting because you know, you see this with Amazon. It's the perfect example where they don't necessarily turn a profit, but their scalability shows that they could turn a profit if they wanted to. But they keep investing their excess cash that they're building up into more growth and more business concepts. And so they keep growing and growing and growing, and that's what successful startups do, is they pour the right amount of capital into that scalability. But the point being is that scalability means that you've created a business model that is indeed duplicatable, profitable, where everyone wins. And getting that right is easier said than done.
Yeah, I spoke this morning, and, you know, you always think about the difficulties. You can have a great service, a great product, but, you know, in the medical professional, you got to have the clinical trials. You got to get the funding. I mean, you got to have a person or people in there who can handle it a lot. I just spoke with someone, a friend of mine in the West Coast, just before going on air this morning, 15 minutes before going on air, who's starting a fund. He's raised $250,000. It's a revolutionary medical fund. I don't have more details and have time to read the synopsis. He's getting another $250,000 in funding today. And people have to realize that it's just not magic. It doesn't always work that way. At what particular point do you say, you know, sometimes it's better to be on the outside looking in on the inside of trying to get out. When do you say, you know, I don't want to jump here? Because you got everybody's got a great idea that's going to revolutionize every industry. And it doesn't mean that every business should be invested in. Got about 1 minute.
That's a great point. Is it? Well, there's one of the principles in my book says there are no good ideas. And the point there is that most of the success comes from execution. I mean, Wayne Huizenga, you may know, he owned the...
Oh, yeah, Blockbuster. Dolphins,
right, and AutoNation, and Waste Management.
I was going to say the big waste management system. Amazing, yep.
Yeah, he's a brilliant businessman. But, you know, Peter Drucker, the great Peter Drucker...
The guru.
The guru says management is about doing things right. And I think it comes down to that more than anything else, not just the idea. I mean, when Huizenga started waste management, it was not considered a good idea.
Oh, I hate to end this. I could go on forever. You're fascinating, Bobby Martin. And stay on, Bobby, as we come to a conclusion. The hockey stick principles, the four key stages to entrepreneurial success. It's a must-read book, and I'm delighted to have had you on. I want to thank everyone for listening. See you back here tomorrow. This is Stu Taylor.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. BizTalkRadio.com.